yeah, this is a slick shot show off. If this was a paper draft, I might just take the $20 card. We got one of those nice three rare packs, Rest in Peace, Slick Shot Show Off, and Pest Infestation. But of the three colors, which, you know, white's good, green's good, red, I'm not as anti-red as some people are. I think you can still play it, but slamming Pest Infestation, not even looking back. Casting this for X equals 4, really, you care about making the tokens. Blowing up the artifacts and enchantments, that's just icing on the cake. If you cast this for X equals 4, you're putting 9 mana into it, you're getting 8 1-1s that die into 1 life, it's just not hard to win the game from there. You can win just by going super wide in this format, especially if your opponent is down on life. There's not a good, not a lot of good ways to deal with this many, well, this many little pests. Ooh, and we're past some good stuff, too. Port Rage is just okay. I like it. It's kind of funny. This gives you extra combat damage steps once this thing deals damage. But I think I'm just going to slam Fortune here. Really strong card. I love doing the ETB flicker stuff. And with a Fortune in the deck, that means we want to try looking for some good ETBs. It's good no matter what. Actually, something like Frontier Seeker would be amazing with it. Passing a Throw from the Saddle, which maybe is the next best card? I don't know. Frontier Seeker versus Throw from the Saddle. I'd probably take Saddle over Seeker. Picks probably Fortune, then Saddle, then Seeker, then like Beaver or Salvo or something. I don't know. Let's take the Fortune, and hey, maybe we'll be in another green-white deck. I mean, green-white has been doing really well in this format so far still. All right, we've got a less obvious pick here. Still a rare in the pack, but it's an inspiring vantage. Don't necessarily want to play Naya, although I do find that you end up playing Naya a decent amount of the time. Red ends up being open pretty frequently just because no one likes red that much. But if you pick up good cards, I mean, like Ride Down, this is a good card. You can sometimes splash, but I'd prefer not to. I think I'm just going to take the Drover Grizzly here, go for like a Mounts thing. There is a Mourner's Surprise. This is a very strong card. Nothing here has a good ETB that we'd really be able to abuse with Fortune. Full steam ahead. Oh, wait a minute. With Pest Infestation? is that something? Okay, I don't feel like Drover Grizzly is that big a loss here. I'm going to take the full steam ahead. I guess we're going to try to make a million things and then put a bunch of counters on them. Okay, I mean, similarly, there's a Bounding Felidar. That seems pretty good with Pest Infestation, right? Abrupt Decay is really strong. So is Spinewood's Paladin. But, look, we got to use a little bit of vector theory here. Our vector right now points towards making a million things and then buffing them up somehow, swinging in for a lot of damage. I kind of like that. Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Felidar. I wouldn't fault someone for taking Abrupt Decay or the Paladin here. Everything else, I think I would fault you for. Yeah, no, nothing else here is really doing much. After that, there's not a lot. There's a High Noon. I think I might just take the Forlorn Flats here. I'd much rather splash black in this deck. Picking up some of the black recursion in like an Obzon shell is really strong. Could take the Bristlepack Sentry, but this doesn't do a ton for us, right? It's not an ETB to abuse. Vengeful Townsfolk is interesting. If we're going wide, I guess a lot of creatures will be dying, but I think I'd rather just pick up the flats here. Another bit of a moot pick. There's a Mirage Mesa and a Creosote Heath. I think I'll just take the Heath that's on color. Intimidation Campaign is kind of sick, but we're pretty far away from doing that. Well, Nurturing Pixie doesn't really work with Fortune. I guess it further helps us abuse ETBs, but I think we're just going to go for the Mounts deck here. We'll just take the Beaver. I kind of like Fling in these decks sometimes. It'll feel like the green-white Mounts deck is just like almost not getting there, but I could see backdooring into deserts here. I mean, we're getting really late deserts. Wow, like no one is interested in these at all. We wield the Hypothesis, well, that's interesting, but we're not playing blue-red explicitly yet. So I think I'm just going to keep taking deserts and see what happens. Funny enough, I'm gonna take an armadillo here, just as it's a defender. Okay, so we have a bunch of deserts. We're pretty wide open. I'd like some fixing. Maybe a bandit to help us cast some other off-color bombs. This is the sort of deck where I think pack three could be really cool, where we're just gonna get a bunch of bombs, pick up anything, cast anything. We have some big green stuff. We want to be base green still, and we are. This can be base green white. I think the best card we want to see, we'd probably want to see Buried in the Garden over just about anything. That'd be pretty great for helping us ramp out our big stuff and also splash around here. I don't know. I like this. This feels like a good setup, a nice jumping off point. We have great mana, some great cards, Pest Infestation, Fortune, or just objectively high win rate cards. And we have this sort of top end. We only have five real actual playable cards in our deck so far. But hey, that's what packs two and three are for, right? Now this is interesting. Wrangler of the Damned does actually help you go wide. It is on Vector, as long as you're just not casting spells, at least at sorcery speed. So I don't know if we're going to play this, but it is an interesting consideration. It pairs pretty well with Full Steam Ahead. If you just sit around behind your giant beaver in million tokens and make a couple flyers and then cast Full Steam Ahead, that seems pretty good. You get to rare draft a High Noon. Don't think we're gonna be main decking that one. All right, what do we got? Pack two. Okay, there's some action here. Combal is pretty cool, but I don't think it's worth slamming. I think we're just going to slam a Lasso by the Law. Good removal spell, makes a token, helps put a body on the field. Take up the shield, Ankle Biter, Drover Grizzly. These are interesting, but let's get some lassoing going here. Also, this I like to think of this as a 4-mana creature that has a Banisher Priest effect. Whoa, Stingerback Terror. Oh, that is interesting. It's pretty off vector for us. But part of what we're going to be attempting to do here is just cast bombs. And this card is a bomb. It's pretty easy to make this thing just a 4-mana 4-4 for 3, sometimes even. There's also the Mystical Tether here. We do have the Jagged Barrens. Are we willing to branch off of this green-white? And then there's a Spinewitz Paladin, Tether, Naturalist. This is not a correct pick. I think Tether is the right pick here. Oh, but it's so sick. I can't. I gotta take it. I'm sorry. All right, now we get a Prairie Dog. Ooh, or a Hard Bristle Bandit. Get a little bit back on track here. There's a Mesa as well. I mean, if we're going to go five colors, we want to be ramping this stuff out too. Prairie Dog is really good, but we're going to be casting spells on our main phase most of the time here. So I'm just going to take the Bandit. Hopefully wheel something out of that pack. Ooh, this is interesting. One Last Job. Also another Full Steam Ahead. One Last Job is pretty cool. We don't have, let's see. We have three mounts. We would need some self-mill. I actually really like these. This card specifically. If you have like a green-white shell. If you can just get some stuff in the graveyard, we'll need to pick up some ways to self-mill. But then one last job gets really strong. We could even wheel this Full Steam Ahead. I've seen this come back. Same with the Lucky Arroyo or the Bristlepack Sentry. I'm going to take the One Last Job here. Interesting. Here we've got to Dance the Tumbleweeds. I mean, if we're going big green, this card's perfect. No complaints. Usually it's like a 6-mana 8-8 or something. Snakeskin Veil, Creosote Heath. We've got some pretty high impact creatures and cards. I think I'll go with the Veil here. It's just so good. It's just so efficient. You can't really... I mean, protecting something like a Felidar with this is priceless. Not the most exciting pack here. This isn't the sort of multicolored bomb we're hoping to pick up. Ariette. No thanks. I'll take Trash the Town. I honestly haven't had much of a chance to play this card yet. We do want some more cheaper creatures that this could work well with, using it just as a 3-mana combat trick, or maybe using it to draw some cards. This is honestly the first pack where I'm not really excited to take anything, at least the first early pack. I think I'm just going to rare draft the Malcolm. I guess we could take the Jailbreak Scheme. If we end up more 5-color, right now we are sort of leaning back just towards green-white. I'll take the Scheme. This card's fine. three mana to put something away. And sometimes you get to kick it and just swing for a million. What do we think about the Stingerback Terror pick? Oh, wow, okay. Well, here's the wheel from that pack. Cumball came all the way back around. We wheeled a Gem Lightfoot. How often would we be passing with that up? I guess with other plot cards, something like Gem Lightfoot gets better. But honestly, Cumball's pretty strong. Just making tokens? We have a lot of ways to make tokens. Let's try Cumball. It pairs with the Wrangler of the Damned. That's a nice little ETB, everything drains. No, we're not playing anything out of this pack. I'll take a Wingsmith. Pairs well with the Pest Infestation, too. We are still looking for good ETBs to pair with Fortune. I don't have too many of those yet. All right, this is all a bit of a whiff. Failed Fording could sneak into our deck if we're desperate. We're still base green-white, but let's go five-color payoffs. And... oh, Buried in the Garden. This is exactly what I said we wanted, right? There is a Stubborn Burrow Fiend. We also opened two rares. Vraska joins up and Grand Abolisher. These are not what we're going for. But Buried in the Garden sort of seems like what we're going for here. Stubborn Burrow Fiend is pretty great as well. This would help self-mill. Turns on one last job, but then again, one last job just turns on by itself eventually. I'm going to go Buried in the Garden here. Right now we've got 7 creatures, 8 non-creatures. We're not going to need too many more removal spells, but remember, Pest Infestation is functionally a creature. Same as Lasso by the Law. Let's go with the Buried in the Garden here. Here we've got another Hard Bristle Bandit. If we're doing multicolor pile, I think I like the Bandit, just to help us ramp out some of these big things. There's an Imp's Mischief. These uncommons are a little off-vector for us. We're looking for sort of big top-end stuff. Something like Make Your Own Luck or Armadillo. Ooh, or maybe a Badlands Revival. That, to just get back some action. There is a Throw from the Saddle, but we're looking pretty good on removal here. I like Badlands Revival just to help us go over the top. If we're trying to get back Bounding Felidar or something like that, I love a nice Abzan Reanimator deck. We've already got one last job now with Badlands Revival. Yeah, that's looking pretty good. Ooh, a lot more action here. There's a Pillage the Bog, which is basically just Demonic Tutor. You look at the top X cards of your library, put one of them in your hand, rest on the bottom of the library, and you can even plot it. There's a Pitiless Carnage. It's pretty sick with Pest Infestation. Sack 8 pests, make or draw 8 cards. But it's hard to argue with the efficiency of Clear Shot. I think I'm going to go for the Clear Shot here, and then we could use a couple more early creatures to beef up the board. Something like the Raucous Entertainer. Ooh, Entertainer plus Pest Infestation? Yeah, I like this. We've sort of... and a Green Blade, 6th pick. Oh, wow. Super happy to be in green after seeing that. Too bad we're not going to get to wield this Paladin. I would like one Spinewoods Paladin, but Greenblade is really strong. One of the best uncommons, if not, might still actually be the top uncommon on 17 lands. What are we short? Like 2 playables here? And it seems that we're a little low on creatures, but remember, Pest Infestation is functionally a creature. Lasso by the Law is functionally a creature. Ooh, Patient Naturalist. That is sort of what our deck wants, especially with double Badlands Revival. It's going to help us find our mana. Too bad we can't grab that Festering Gulch, but we have a Jagged Barrens. We have a Buried in the Garden. Man, an Armadillo would make this deck so good. We have one more pack to get an Armadillo. Probably not going to see it, though. Card would have been taken up. There's another Greenblade. Oh, man. Okay, forget the Armadillo. I'm just going to take Greenblades. So I've got 4 Deserts. Basically, from this point onwards, I'm just going to slam anything that says Desert on it. The Stubborn Burrow Fiend came back. Oh, man. This thing's like a 2-mana 7-7 most of the time. Yeah, all right. This worked out pretty well. So I'm actually going to need to make a cut here. Wrangler of the Dam does look a little suspicious, but it does sort of help us go off into the late game. Savage Smash. Fight spells are a little outdated almost. Now that we've gotten so used to playing with Bite spells, when you... have a Savage Smash in hand, and you want to kill your opponent's Death Toucher. Also, that Bristlepack Sentry might actually make it in. Let's see what we end up cutting. There's some things that I think are a little suspicious here. When your opponent has a Death Toucher and you have a fight spell in hand from the bonus sheet, there's a couple fight spells on there. Primal Might, the blue-green one, whatever that one's called. And then this one as well. Where'd you go? Yeah, Savage Smash. It feels pretty bad. These bites that we've gotten more used to, I think, are just better. All right, now our splash colors, we're not going to need two mountains. We're not going to need two islands. No matter how that works out, we're definitely only going to need one swamp. I do want to go up another forest because our green is reliant on Hard Bristle Bandits and Outcaster Greenblade. So this is like a five-color green deck. Yeah, I love this. With a bit of a Mounts sub-theme to go with One Last Job, a Reanimator sub-theme to go with Badlands Revival, the Patient Naturalist, the Stubborn Burrow Fiend. Now, when making cuts, let's see, that was only... Yeah, we want to go back up to 17 lands here, I think. Although we do have the Bandits and the double Greenblade. Could this be a 16-land deck? Bird in the Garden as well? We really do want to hit our land drops. We've got stuff like the Bounding Felidar, but the mana requirements of this deck aren't actually that intense. Plus, oh man, imagine flickering Greenblade with Fortune. We really picked up those Outcaster Greenblades. They came in pretty clutch at the end there. Combo, I think, also might be worth trying out. We have a couple ways to make tokens. Literally just a couple, right? Wrangler of the Damned. Yeah. We sort of have a token sub-theme. This Hard Bristle, the Raucous Entertainer with the Wrangler of the Damned is interesting. Turns those into 3-3 flyers if you get to keep activating it. Obviously, if you get to cast Raucous Entertainer into Pest Infestation, make all these 2-2s, you're probably just going to win the game from there. We're pretty good on removal spells, aren't we? We even have some creatures that functionally act as removal spells, Lasso by the Law, even Pest Infestation sometimes. I think we might just cut this Jailbreak scheme, make our mana a little cleaner, and we're not really going to be smacking in for lethal just by attacking with one little creature by giving unblockable that often. Our deck wins, if we want to say hello to our deck here. The way that I picture this deck winning the game is just, first of all, through efficient creatures like Outcaster Greenblade and Bounding Felidar, Stingerback Terror, just, you know, high card quality. And then we have a couple sub-vectors of going wide with Pest Infestation, Wrangler of the Damned, and going tall, Bounding Felidar to help pump up that wide board, going tall with something like the Stubborn Burrow Fiend helps us get pretty beefy, Stingerback Terror, same there. Fortune falls along that good card quality vector, I guess. I like this deck a lot. This is my sort of nonsense. So we've got 16 lands. I think we could try 16 lands here. We have really good mana. We have 6, 7, 8 green sources. This does feel like enough. Let's see. We've got a black-white duel, which helps us with our Combal and a swamp. I do like having one of each basic just to fetch off the green blades. Man, I would trade one of these green blades for an Armadillo in a heartbeat. It just pairs so well with Badlands Revival and One Last Job, but I guess the Green Blades, they'll get on the board a lot faster. They'll still be pretty great. Jagged Barrens helps us cast the Terror and the Combal. Crazed Heath is obviously mostly on color, same with Lush Oasis. 4, 5 white sources? Yeah, this seems fine. We actually don't have that many white cards. It's almost like a functional splash. Really, we have the Lasso by the Law, the Fortune. Wow, can we go down one? Down to 4, up to 9 green sources. That way we're a little more reliant on hitting that turn 2 Hard Bristle Bandit. Because remember, the Hard Bristle Bandits, once you hit those, then all your other colors are online. I think I like this mana base. 8 green sources feels like it's all this deck is really going to need. Plus, we have the Buried in the Garden is fixing as well. Wow. Cool deck. Before we get into a game with this deck, let's jump over to the slides. All right, chaficionados, this is episode 203. We got a couple things to chat about. As always, patrons, y'all are the best. I really appreciate all your support. Those that want to support the nonsense that happens here at the Draft Chat Podcast, hop on over to Patreon. We got some cool perks, including our stickers, which I'll show you a better picture, but here they are. They're so cute. Look at these things. So we've got our Itzkinth from a couple sets ago that's coming out. Love this interpretation of Thraben. It's Thraben Inspector, really, but Novice Inspector, little magnifying glass. Notice any secrets on there? You might spot something. And of course, we've got our classic Draft Chaff stickers. And for any Chaff-related inquiries, head over to Discord. Come hang out. We've been posting a lot about trophies and the bounties, which are still popping off. People are claiming bounties left and right. Bounty boards have been going off. It makes sense. This is a Western theme set, right? Of course people are going to claim bounties. It's what the Wild West is all about. Teferi Tybalt time. My Teferi this week, my highs were that it was Teacher Appreciation Week. I'm a teacher, so it's nice to be appreciated by my students and the surrounding community every once in a while. Also, saw Challengers over the weekend. Real cool movie. Let me know in Discord if you saw that. I have many thoughts. Let me know what you think. Also, very big announcement coming up. Something monumental, something shattering. Something so big it made my week, but I cannot say what it is yet. You'll just have to wait and see. My Tybalt is that I made day two of the Arena Open over the weekend, but I went 2-2 in the first draft, and you need to win 3 matches in order to proceed. So, yeah, that was fine. I had a solid deck too. I had some rough matchups, and I think I may have misplayed a little here. I wasn't playing my best, so you know we'll get them next time. There is a qualifier weekend coming up, so I'm going to be giving another shot there. Also, another Tybalt, the fact that I can't share my top secret announcement. As a reminder, bounties are going. There's been a couple of That's Just Cruel tossing around, including some by myself, which mine don't count, of course. But I've been casting Cruel Tomato left and right still. There's a couple that I still haven't seen. I don't think I've seen a Snorcer Morse yet. I gotta go check the Discord. Make sure you're in there. What else have I got on here? By the way, if you're not seeing these slides, you know, you're missing out. I recommend watching on YouTube or those that are listening on Spotify. You can actually check the video on Spotify. We have video uploads there as well. I don't know if other podcast sites do that yet. By the way, there are the stickers. Nice, great images of these. If you can't see this, maybe check out the Discord. I dropped them there in the announcements channel too. Again, this is the $4 an episode tier on Patreon. Look at these little guys. They're great. By the way, we have a new Draft Chaff hero. Spinewood's Armadillo. No wonder I was talking this guy up. I really would have wanted one for this deck. Honestly, it's the only thing my deck is missing. It really ties together the Reanimator decks. It really ties together the 5-color decks. It was an instant inclusion in the Draft Chaff cube. As, you know, most Draft Chaff heroes, I do try to find a home for them in the cube. A lot of the past ones have made it in. But the Outlaws of Thunder Junction Draft Chaff hero, it's got to be Spinewood's Armadillo. That's the 4 green, 7/7 reach. It's an uncommon Armadillo. It's got Ward 3, and you can pay 1 of the green, discard it, search your library for a basic or a desert, put it in your hand, shuffle, and gain 3 life. To be honest, I grab basics off of this thing more than I grab deserts. I just find that pitching it in early turns winds up being good sequencing. And then at that point in the game, you usually want your lands coming in untapped. If you're doing this in the late game, which I can't imagine why, because then at that point, you're usually just, you know, casting it. I guess you could get a desert if you don't care about it, or if your mana sequencing works out such that you really need that certain dual land desert. Maybe you need double pips of 2 colors for which you have a dual land. Then I guess you could do that, but to be honest, even if this didn't say desert on it, it would still be a really strong magic card, and I love it in this format. Really wish I had one in that deck, but you know, whatever. I got the Green Blades, which were one of the runners-up. By the way, still waiting about CubeCon. Expect some sort of... I'll probably be hyping this up, the fact that the Draft Chaff Cube is going to be up for voting for CubeCon this year. I will certainly be in attendance if the Cube makes it in. And by the way, the qualifier play-in event for this weekend is on Friday. It's going to be best of 3 sealed for Outlaws of Thunder Junction. You might catch me in the playing queues. I will be jamming some games of that to try to get it into the qualifier, which is that following day on Saturday. With that, let's hop into some gameplay from this nonsense 5-color reanimator. We are up against Jason Likes Candy. All right. Good to know. Huh. An interesting hand here. Any land gives us a clear shot. Yeah, see? And we have a lot of ways to get lands. This is a risky keep. Nah, I think I'm gonna keep it. I think there's a lot of ways this hand could go right. Yeah, alright, there's the land. Would have preferred it untapped, but you know, can't be choosers, right? Keykeeper sounds like a nice target for my clear shot. Yeah. Yeah, so drawing in these lands, now I feel pretty good about this hand. I do need a blue source for this Wrangler at some point. Entertainer Wrangler is a pretty cool combo. Wow, no attacks there. Alright, we got the red land. I wanted the blue land. If we're drawing one of, then I would have preferred that. Alright, here, opponent might make a bad attack. They might go Keykeeper and Mind Raider attack, block with the Entertainer, give it 1-1, shoot the Raider. That'd be pretty nice. Okay, we're going to get to do something kind of similar. Oh, but they have treasure? So they're going to get to sack the treasure and make a 3-3? Pretty cool. Alright, if they have another removal spell here, at least we tried to use the clear shot. Alright, it worked. So I get to keep my Entertainer. But if this is a true Legion Extruder deck, we might be in trouble. Yo, man, they have Gold Pan. Gotta salute this effort. This is looking pretty cool. Wish this thing could blow up an artifact or enchantment. That'd be nice. The white one does, but... Alright. We kind of want to get some stuff in our graveyard. I also don't mind drawing cards here. Let's just, This thing costs 5 total? I mean, I guess... Giving just trample and... I guess I just don't mind just winning the fight there. Like, just getting to put the 2 counters on. Yeah. I'm curious if they're gonna... If they would trade with the Keykeeper. Probably not, because it gets blanked by the Extruder. Actually, they could just attack and... Well, you know, if they sack all that stuff to make a single 3-3, and then I can put 2 counters on, I guess I'm okay with that exchange. Let's just play the Heath. This is a bit of a bold attack, but I'm going to attack with the Entertainer. Nice, alright. I get to just free draw some cards. If they have a kill spell here, I'm going to burn their treasures for it. I'm okay with that. Alright, 2 mana, draw 2 in green. Broken. Oh, except now they get to make a bunch of dudes. We did draw the island. Think I'm just going to do some wrangling here. If they want to spend a bunch of turns doing nothing, yeah, it's whatever. Nothing but making some 3-3s, then I will do nothing but make some 3-3 flyers. How about that? Although I could just slam the Felidar. That seems pretty good too. Felidar does a good job of keeping 3-3s at bay. Hellspur Posse Boss. Ugh. That's a little scary. I was kind of hoping they'd just full swing with the posse, as it were. Yep, that's good. The Felidar will do some good blocking work here. Doesn't look like we're going to be getting our Wrangler of the Dam trigger. No, yeah, we got to just slam the Felidar here. Go shields up. I mean, the Keykeeper can tap it, but at least this makes them do that instead of making a token on end step. They'll have to tap it next turn instead. They didn't do either. They had 2 mana up. They could have sacked their treasure or the Gold Pan to make another token. It's pretty good. This thing doesn't have haste from the Posse Boss. Bit of a misplay, but, you know, we'll take it. we're going to need that. As right now, our opponent is in much better position. A good Legion Extruder deck is really sick. Of course, you got to play a bunch of junk, like, Mind Raider and Gold Pan, and when it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Now, that's a pretty brave attack. What do you got? Yeah. I mean, I have to just grind through their artifacts. They can sack Gold Pan and a treasure. They did not. This will eventually be able to get back the Felidar, so I'm actually kind of okay with that. Let's just Beaver. Beaver, Bandit, counter on both. Now, we're going to be pretty eager to trade the Beaver, because one last job, full kicked, could get back two creatures, one a mount, one something else. See, there they sacked it. Ooh, okay. Pretty good use of Bounding Felidar there. Good thing it doesn't have haste. We're going to want to leave back enough stuff to block that sufficiently. Hmm. Now this might be just pass and make a 3-3. Because I could get a 4-4 on the ground, but I'd rather just wait, save up a couple turns, and yeah. And eventually, dump my hand. Did I not get priority there? A little annoying that I didn't get priority in my end step. I guess I should keep that in mind. Now, hopefully, opponent doesn't have any more tricks or kill spells here. Because if they do, that's sort of just I've got to. Oh, okay, their hand is empty. I do just have to take out this Felidar here. I'm gonna be putting. Yeah, that's really good. I'm gonna be putting 8 power in front of it, like that. They can only kill 2 things here: the Beaver and the Flyer. I'm gonna guess. Yeah. That Flyer should have been a 3-3. Not that that would have mattered there. Well, no, I guess it would have. Right? That would have actually mattered. Beaver could have been a 3-3. Here, I think we're going to do our dump our hand turn. Because we got to get back some stuff. We can get back a creature and a mount. Tap like that. Oh, that's smart. Whatever. This is a sorcery, so there's no way to do it with that ability on the stack. Think then we just slam the sentry. And that's that. No trigger on the Wrangler. We're going to try to alternate turns. Ooh, Bucolic Ranch. They can start grabbing mounts and things. Does that get vehicles too? No, just mounts. What are you doing with a bighorn there, opponent? You could sack that that Gold Pan, make another 3-3. We have stabilized pretty well here. I mean, like, I guess I could trade this for the Felidar plus Beaver. Do I even want to trade? I think I just take this. Yeah, it puts me... It puts me dead to a couple spells of the format. But I'm not a coward. Snakeskin Veil. Okay, nice. Let me see if I go to my end step. Alright, here. Now it's my turn to jam with the Felidar. I don't really want to tap down. Maybe I'm not going to use the Entertainer this turn. Maybe I use that to crew instead. In which case, I will play out the Burrow Fiend. This feels like the sort of turn where I'd use Snakeskin Veil to buff the Felidar as it maybe is like about to get an end for an attack. Giant Beaver. I just can't be tapping that much stuff. They have good attacks on the crackback, and I'm at 7 now, so I could maybe attack with the Beaver. Yeah. Because then I could Snakeskin Veil if they... Oh, right, they get to tap this. That's interesting. Forgot about their tapper. Why aren't they tapping the Felidar? What's your plan, opponent? Maybe their plan is to tap one of my blockers and then swing for a lot next turn. Oh, okay. So they're finally sacking to make a 3-3. Interesting. Yes and yes. Here I think I do Veil to keep my Felidar alive. The Keykeeper is going to become a problem. Actually, am I just dead? I gained a bunch of life. No, I'm not quite just dead. I do think keeping the Felidar alive is a way to win this game. And now it no longer dies to their golems. They get to tap one of my things. I do have good blocks, though. Good-ish. I take a bunch of damage, but they tap my 2-5. I have 2-3-3s. I can trade the bandit at this point. But then again, keeping it alive helps with the Felidar. Yeah, like that. That's actually just fine. Unless they didn't tap with the Keykeeper. I think that actually just makes me want to trade these guys off. I mean, they've got to have something here. No, nothing. Okay. Green Blade. Nice draw. But also the sort of draw that I'm okay to miss on. Let's see what happens. Let's see if I just crew with the Felidar. Tap the bandit, I guess. I mean, surely they tap the Felidar this time, right? They tap the sentry. What is happening? I'm gaining so much life. It gains me 5 life. Okay, let me see if I put an end step stop. Oh, they have infinite blocks. But I'm gaining 5 life and putting a bunch of counters on my stuff. I don't know. I don't know about this line. I'm not sure about this idea. All right, I am going to pass. Make a 2-2. And then, yeah, I'll put a counter on it. This is what I would have wanted to do that other turn. 3-3 flyer is nice. See, like, attacking with my Felidar is helping me. I mean, this is what my Vector wants to do. My deck is at its best when I'm putting creatures in play and then putting counters on them. So they bottom with the ranch. Just looks at the top card. And wow, okay. I honestly don't think we would have won that game if they had just tapped down my Felidar a bunch. But, cool. They have some pretty high-value stuff. I don't think I have a way to kill the Extruder, do I? I could bounce it with Failed Forwarding. I can bury it in the garden, actually. So keep in mind... Oh, I have Pest Infestation. I haven't seen this once this draft yet. Pest Infestation against their deck actually seems nuts. All right. Send it. So keep that in mind for 2 toughness creatures. Here's the thing. A Legion Extruder deck, they have to play out that junk to be able to enable it. Because artifacts are not like a supported thing in the set, right? They're just not that good. Gold Pan? That's an embarrassing magic card. This hand looks sick, by the way. Green Blade and Naturalist. Hopefully going to mill something big to Badlands Revival. Oh, and a full steam ahead? Hand is sick. Alright, I think I do want to lead on the Naturalist to inform my decisions. No 2 drop. We're just gonna have perfect Wooburg on turn 3. No big deal. Griff, nice. Good card. Actually, if I care about clear shotting, I'd want to lead on the Green Blade. Because clear shotting down the Griff, that's gonna have to happen pretty soon. Let's grab. We have plenty of green. Let's grab flats. Just deal a bunch of damage with our lands. Because then a clear shot just goes through. Oh, if they suited up with Gold Pan here? Come on. Alright, they do actually have... Dude, they do have Snakeskin Veil up technically, but oh, Combal is pretty great against Legion Extruder. I just get their 3/3s every time they make one. Do I even want a clear shot here? I mean, nah. Let's just Naturalist. Okay, not exactly a killer reanimation target, but that's fine. Smack for a bunch. At this point, I kind of want them to play the extruder. We have so many ways to deal with it. I just didn't happen to see it in the last game. Interesting. Punished for not leaving Snakeskin Veil up, I guess. Well, now I know they don't have a veil. What legends are they double triggering? Huh. Now, I could revival back the Green Blade. Is that nuts? Or I could get back... You know, I gotta do something here. Maybe I get back the Wrangler and then just start passing the turn with Clear Shot and Snakeskin Veil up, and then I get to get Combo triggers? Nah, that's just a little silly. Let's just put the Wrangler in hand, get the Green Blade back on the field. Because this thing's just massive. Get our last desert to make it huge. And yeah, we're going to have to pitch a land here. I like having to discard to hand size and draft. That feels pretty good. I feel like if that's your problem, then you've created a good problem for yourself to have. Mystical Tether. Cool. Trash the town. Well, now they're a little out of clear shot range. I don't have anything that's that high power. They're getting some life. Maybe I should just kill the Griff while I had the chance. Maybe I just start wrangling now. Because honestly, Wrangler, sit back for a couple turns, full steam ahead. That'll do it too. I mean, I just don't care about what's happening over here. Like, they can... Alright, that will have to die. But how do we kill it? 7 toughness is a lot for our deck to handle. Ooh. Oh, man. Okay. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah. That seems good. Whatever. I'll get a swamp. I mean, yeah, that's pretty sick. Like, I'm not sure there's a single play they can make this turn. Harvester of Misery. They could play exactly Harvester of Misery, and then I would lose. But I'm just going to cast Full Steam Ahead, and the game is going to end. Yeah, nah, it doesn't do it. My eyes went wide. I thought this was going to be, like, Electro Dominance for Lethal or something. But, or worse, Crackle with Power. But no, it was not. Oh, and they're not even... Okay. I'm sorry, opponent. This is gonna be mean. What's the biggest I can make everything? Can I get bigger? Look, it's on Vector. It's just how we drew it up. Swing for a trillion. Yeah. that's how we drew it up.